From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. CASA, or Court-Appointed Special Advocates, is an organization that provides guidance and assistance to kids in the foster care system. But it's so much more than that. They utilize and activate a small army of volunteers to literally advocate for kids when no one else is there for them. And while CASA advocates are required, they are what's known as an unfunded mandate. So in order to make up for a budget shortfall, they, like so many nonprofits, rely on fundraisers. What is different about the main CASA fundraiser is that instead of a gala or fun run, they get volunteers to raise money by getting sponsors to fund them literally rappelling off the side of a building. Today on the show, you'll hear all about CASA and this fundraiser called Over the Edge, and I'm joining them to rappel off the Eugene Hyatt at Oakway. Today is an unusual show. I'm becoming part of the story by joining with CASA, or Court-Appointed Special Advocates, in their signature event called Over the Edge to rappel off the side of a Eugene hotel. You'll hear all about why they do this and the cause they do it for on behalf of foster youth. Kendra Jones, the Executive Director of CASA of Lane County, really appreciate you coming in and talking with us.
Thanks, Michael, for having me.
Yeah. I know we've talked before, and I know that your organization is very well known in the community, but just for those who don't know, give us a quick overview of what CASA is and what you do.
CASA is an acronym that stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and we work with children and youth in the foster care system, specifically providing advocacy support for their best interests for the entire duration that they're in the foster care system.
Okay. And I think many people may not realize, some of these kids, this is an incredibly important thing. They're kind of on their own if your organization doesn't exist.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people involved in their lives, but many of those people are paid to be in their lives, mm-hmm. and many of them have very large case volumes. The unique thing about CASA is that we recruit, train, and support community volunteers who provide advocacy support for the individual child.
Okay.
So they have somebody that's solely focused on them and their best interests.
And what does that look like? If you could sort of paint a picture about what those CASA volunteers do, what does a typical sort of case or their interaction look like?
Absolutely, Michael. They meet with the child at least once monthly, sometimes more frequently. They build a relationship with everybody that's involved with the child, from educators to therapists, caseworkers. They meet their attorneys. They get to know the biological parents along with the resource parents, and really they interact with everybody that's involved with that child and develop a really strong relationship with the child themselves so that they can kind of be the eyes and ears of the judge and bring that information back to the courts.
Okay. Now, obviously, a program such as yours, it takes financial resources, and I know that there's some challenges you're needing to overcome. Talk about that.
Absolutely. We're provided our first support from the state in the early 2000s. And then a commitment was made by the state in 2006 to fund a full implementation of the CASA program across Oregon at $9.75 million. However, here we are in 2024 and our funding level is $5.9 million. So obviously a stark contrast from the level that we were supposed to be back in 2011.
Yeah. Now, are you able to work with local legislators or is there an effort in which to try and make that appeal to increase that funding up in Salem?
Absolutely. We have a whole legislative committee, mm-hmm. Both with the Oregon CASA Network, but then with our individual organizations, we mobilize volunteers to provide advocacy at the state legislature to prove and to show and demonstrate the value of our work and the impact that we make in the lives of children and youth. So hopefully that will result in a higher yield in the next session.
And that's what you're looking at, is hopefully in 2025 in the full session, they might be able to take this up.
Absolutely. We definitely have ambitions, to increase that funding. To be able to fully support every child in the child welfare system, we would need to be at about $20 million. And we're looking to increase this year to hopefully get us closer to that mark.
Yeah, if you could, in any way you want, sort of put some context around the number of kids that you're able to provide services for. Give us sort of the how many, you know, lives you're impacting.
Absolutely. Well, Lane County has the second highest child maltreatment rate in the state, with nearly 1,000 children spending time in foster care every year. Currently, we are providing support to approximately 400 children a year.
Wow.
And so we're obviously under the 50% mark. We actually have to prioritize our caseload and looking at children that are coming into care. Prioritize through what we call a critical needs wait list. And really, we have to examine the cases that are come in to be able to determine the children that have the most critical needs so that we can prioritize them to ensure that a cost is assigned to their case.
Okay. Okay. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Kendra Jones. She's the executive director for CASA of Lane County, court-appointed special advocates. As I understand it, too, there's this Victim of Crimes Act that has historically provided some funding for CASA programs. And that might be, I don't know if the right word is in jeopardy, but talk about some of the challenges there.
Absolutely. So the Victims of Crime Act funding has been in sort of a crisis state for a bit now. With dwindling funds, the way CASA programs in the state of Oregon have received those funds is through a competitive grant cycle. But the funds for the competitive grant cycle are only available if the funding for VOCA is at an adequate level, and it hasn't been. In fact, it's been declining, and so that funding pool has dried up and those funds are no longer available. And so we've seen a dip in funding, and we're now trying to mobilize and figure out other ways to supplement our funding so that we don't have to reduce the number of kids we support.
Sure. And like many nonprofits, you're not just sitting there idly waiting for grants to come in. You're actively fundraising to be able to offer the kind of services that you do. You know, talk about, you have this very unique program called Over the Edge. Talk about it.
Yeah, so Over the Edge is a really unique event. I don't know that it happens anywhere else in Oregon. So it's kind of unique to CASA of Lane County. And essentially, it's a peer-to-peer fundraiser, not too different from a marathon or a walk. But instead of people raising money from their friends and family and coworkers to run in a marathon, they're raising the money to earn their spot to rappel off of the Hyatt Place at Oakway Center.
And I'm thinking, like you just teed up, there's lots of ways in which nonprofits can raise money. You're talking about runs, people do galas. Why this one? This seems so unusual, and maybe that's part of the reason, is it certainly does catch your attention, if you will.
Absolutely, Michael. I've actually raised money to go over the edge myself, and really my ambition behind that is that, fear of heights is often common to many people.
Sure.
And for me, it was really being able to be brave and show my courage to raise that money and then face a fear.
Yeah.
To go over the edge and rappel down the building, knowing that children are brave every single day as they navigate the complex court system.
Well, full disclosure, I'm going to join you on this endeavor and going over the edge myself. So tell me, what am I in for?
Michael, it's going to be exciting. And in fact, we partner with Over the Edge Global. Hmm. And so they actually have a full operation. It's very, very safe.
Yeah.
They provide the full support with a trained team that will be out there to support every edger that goes over.
Okay. Well, if I scream like a little child, that's okay. We'll somehow get over that. I'm wondering too, and it's really a neat program to raise this kind of money and stuff, but it's always, I think that oftentimes, and nonprofits like yours are so critical, not just for the services that you provide in our community, but, your businesses, you're a major industry in Lane County. What's your hope, both, the immediate term of what this fundraiser might be able to do, but then just in general, what's your hope for getting the funding you need, but do you to be able to continue services here in Lane County?
Absolutely, Michael. We have just launched our Deepening Our Roots campaign, and we're building our business advocate partnership program. And essentially, that is an opportunity for businesses to make an investment in CASA and commit to supporting us in various ways over a longer period of time. That actually gives us the ability to plan and sustain our funding, but also our volunteer base. And so it's not just through financial support that we're looking for these partnerships, but the ability to go in and talk to employees about the opportunity of volunteering with CASA. And there's many, many other ways the businesses that can provide that support. And when we're able to depend on that, that provides the sustainability and the stability of our services for the kids that are already facing instability.
Got it. Got it. Well, Kendra Jones, the executive director for CASA of Lane County, always great to talk to you. And I guess I'll see you over the edge.
I look forward to it, Michael.
Thank you. I won't lie to you. I've got an extreme case of butterflies. I've done some rappelling and mountaineering, but sliding down a rope on a sheer building wall seems downright scary. I get to the Hyatt and I'm joined by a group of either brave or foolish people who are going to also rappel down the side. Here's one person I talked to and asked how they're feeling. Tell me your name and how to spell it.
Sean Eilers, S-E-A-N-E-I-L-E-R-S.
Great. So, Sean, have you ever done this before?
I have not.
Have you ever rappelled off anything?
Not really. Just climbing down ropes without all the harnesses and stuff.
So how you feeling?
A little nervous. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. It only happened once that time, huh?
So are you going to look down while you go down?
We'll have to see.
All right. Thanks so much. In all honesty, even though I'm scared, there is a tremendous amount of safety built into this event. The company, Over the Edge Global, does this all over the world, and the amount of safety checks and people making sure a rookie like me doesn't make any mistakes is very reassuring. I walk up to a sturdy-looking scaffolding that the organization has set up. In fact, my rappelling buddy is already ahead of me, and it's none other than Sluggo of the Eugene M's. I figure if a big green mascot can do this, so can I. I get a last safety check from the head of the rope team, whose word is law.
How you doing, Michael?
So far, so good.
That's what I like to hear, man. I'm Darren. I'm going to do your final check before you go, okay?
Great.
A check for Michael on yellow. Let me get a blank on yellow, please.
Blank on yellow is ready.
Michael, you have a good ride, sir.
Thank you.
He probably saw some fear in my eyes when he asked me how I was doing, but his voice is very reassuring.
Just step out, put your weight into the harness there.
All right.
Sit back into it first.
Yep.
Keep leaning back there.
All right.
There you go.
Okay,
and now get your right hand down below there.
Okay.
And get your left hand on this lever.
Okay.
Pop it up for you.
Okay. And then this is the descent, right?
Yep.
Just very simple. Good?
Bring your legs over. So right now you're going to walk down the wall.
Come
on that bar.
Oh, okay. Like this?
Okay. All right. We'll walk down the wall.
All right, here we go.
Oh, stop right there, Michael.
Yep.
Quick fix.
Right. The other one wants to stay on the rope. All right, let's just do that. All right, here we
Michael,
go.
Put your arm under that strap for me. Michael, you got to go under the strap there with your right.
Your left hand, left arm under.
Never mind, man. Go on.
I'm good?
Yes, sir.
This is Michael Dunn from KLCC. HBR for Western Oregon.
Well, maybe a little fast there. Going down, still a long way to go, but it's doing all right. This is scary, I will tell you. This is scary, but I think we're doing all right.
Thank you.
And now you're getting a good view of me in the window. Slowly getting down. I think I banged the hotel wall a little bit. And now we're almost to the bottom. I think I'm losing all perspective here. All right.
right. Thank you. All right, go ahead, take your hand off the room. Okay.
And I'm down. It's kind of like a lot of thrilling things in life. The first time is terrifying, but when it's over, you kind of want to do it again. Now with my feet firmly on the ground, I'm going to talk with some of the key staff and volunteers who make this event and CASA work for the community. Tell me your name and how to spell it.
Joel Corin, K-O-R-I-N.
So Joel, what's your role here with CASA?
I've been a CASA for 12 years. I have my own cases and I supervise what they call a peer coach to other CASAs.
Talk about the important role it plays in the community and why you got involved in the first place.
I got involved because I'm a retired lawyer and I used to try a lot of cases back in New Jersey. And I wanted, when we moved here, I wanted to find a volunteer opportunity that used my skills of, you know, digesting material, writing reports, and going to court and advocating. So CASA was perfect for me. The importance of it is that you take kids from a horrible experience and work with them through the foster care system, getting them into a permanent home. And I've been able to see through all the services that they get, the change in these kids and what it means for the rest of their life.
So Brenda, tell me your name and how to spell it.
Brenda Napute, N-E-P-U-T-E.
And what's your title with CASA?
Program Director.
Okay. Talk about this event in terms of how important it is for CASA, but even larger purpose, you know, how important is it for an event like this to provide funding for CASA to continue the mission?
It's extremely important because we have what we call a wait list, and that is also known as a critical needs list, because there's about 65 kids on my wait list at all times waiting for a CASA. And without the funds to support these kids, they're still waiting.
So tell me your name and how to spell it.
Michelle Almond. It's Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, and it's Almond like the nut, A-L-M-O-N-D.
And what's your role with CASA?
I'm a volunteer.
And I've talked to other folks, and I know that there's a wait list for kids. It's you're not funded as much as you want to be. You know, talk about kind of an event like today and how important it is to raise funds.
It's imperative. It is a largely unfunded mandate from the state that every child gets a CASA. And because of that lack of funding, every child does not have a CASA. So instead, there's a wait list that's prioritized by severity of need. There are a lot of children who do not have CASAs who are in the court system. And it's an environment that's full of uncertainties and unpredictabilities. And when you have a CASA, you have this person who shows up because they care, not because it's their job, but because they care. And I think that it sends a really strong message to the child that the community cares, that their voice is important, and that that there's hope, that there's beyond the situation they're in, there's hope for something stronger.
So I gotta ask, have you done this, the Over the Edge? Would you ever?
I would do it. I have not done it. I haven't. This is the first year I've been in town when it's happened. It would take a little bravery, but I would do it for CASA.
Terrific. Thanks so much. Finally, I talk to some fellow rappellers and find out both how their experience was and also why they would give up a Saturday morning to rappel off the side of a building. Go ahead and tell me your first and last name.
Johnny Dunaway.
So, Johnny, how was it?
It was awesome. I had a great time.
Had you ever done it before?
I've rappelled in the military, yeah. It was a little bit different. A little nicer this time, yeah.
You like the equipment. It was a better experience.
Much better experience, yes.
So was it scary or was it thrilling?
More thrilling to me, yeah. I enjoyed it. I'm ready to do it again.
Okay. And tell us why you did it.
We're raising money for CASA. So, you know, we always like to help out in the community from Kindle. So we do a lot in the community, so we like that.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Roger Cox.
So, Roger, you just came off the wall. How was it?
It was a little frightening. To be honest, it was a little frightening.
I agree, 100%. But, Roger, I understand you're one of the key volunteers. You're one of the biggest fundraisers. Talk about, you know, why you participate in something so, let's face it, fear-inducing.
Well, CASA is such a great organization. I've been involved with it for well over 15 years, past board member, past president. I've watched what they do with the kids in our community who are in need. And they just do a great job, great volunteers, great CASAs, and give these kids a voice.
Yeah, you know, I was talking with the executive director, Kendra Jones, and she was talking about, boy, if these kids can be brave, I can be brave. Do you kind of feel the same way?
Yeah. It's a different kind of thing, though, with those kids. They're pulled out of a home into a new environment, and the cost is their only constant in their life. So those kids are my heroes.
I have to admit, while it was scary, the entire experience and the entire reason to help an organization that helps so many kids in our community was so worth it. That's our show. If you missed any part of this show, all episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, you'll hear from Queer Eugene. As we celebrate Pride Month, we'll talk about progress and regression for the local LGBTQIA community. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.